integrity. If you want to have that kind of a relationship that you know you're going to end in a place that is the promise of eternity, you've got to have that godly integrity. Now, notice I didn't say you had to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. But what you have to do is surrender to God and say yes, and then walk with integrity the best way that you know how. And the best way that we can know how is right from the Word of God. So I don't know exactly where this is going to go, but you know, when the Holy Spirit shows up, first service I started preaching, my iPad quit working. So I'm like, fine, I don't need that. I got the Holy Spirit, right? And so we went that route. But I want to challenge our hearts. If you're here today, no matter if you've walked with the Lord for a few minutes or forever, integrity is extremely important. Godly integrity, okay? You can be an integrous person, a good person. We would say there's a man and woman of integrity because they say they'll do it and they do it. And they can have good integrity, but do they have godly integrity? Good integrity is just that, good. Godly integrity, it's all about God. And so I want you to just open your hearts, ask yourselves, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where at, as he gets ready to talk, what are you speaking to me? Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. Amen? That's what makes all the difference in the world. James chapter 5, we read verses 9 through 12 last week. I just want to stop and hang out at verse 12 for a minute. James was talking to the people. Remember, he said, listen, he said, you guys need to be truthful. You need to be careful of the words that you speak. You got to watch out for the spirit of criticism. And he challenged, watch out for temptation. It'll get you every time. And then he comes to the end, and he says these words. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that's where I want to hang out for a moment, because it's not, hey, what you feel, what you think, you know, kind of go with that. He says, no. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, you need to understand what it means to walk in godly integrity. Good integrity is good. Godly integrity is what leads you through these days, through this world, and all the craziness that it has to offer. And can we all agree that there's a lot of craziness in this world? Can we do that? Okay. If you don't believe me, turn the news on. That's all you need to do. There is so many things. The world today, now we all know that this is a sin-filled world, correct? We all know that eternity and paradise, it's not here, it's in heaven. So while we're here, we're going to face challenges. And the challenges are only increasing. They're only increasing in sin. They're only increasing in what's offered. Here's what the enemy does. I've said it for 5 weeks. His job description: steal, kill, and what? Destroy. When we use the word wicked or Wiccan or any of those words, that literally means to twist. That's the job of the enemy. He will take the pureness of the truth of the Word of God, and all he'll do is twist it. So it sounds like God, smells like God, kind of maybe even looks like God, but it isn't God. Because he puts this twist to it. And you and I are challenged to live in a world, if I should say it this way, a twisted world. And the challenge is to be able to walk with godly integrity, not good integrity. Good's good, but godly integrity. And how do we do that? Because we become so familiar with the lies, we become so familiar with the cheating, we become so familiar with, here, we had a worship leader, his name's Kevin Jonas. I'm not even going to try to do that. I'll date myself. Anybody know the Jonas Brothers? Okay. Their dad was our worship leader. And so Lisa actually babysat the Jonas Brothers. Can you believe that? See, I told you it's going to date us. But Kevin Jonas preached a message that I never forgot. And it was just a line straight across. Two stick people standing up, one stick person upside down, and then another stick person that was upright. And the premise of his whole message was this. We are living in an upside down world. But the reality is we've been in the upside down world so long that upside down feels right side up. And because it feels right side up, then when somebody does live with godly integrity, we look at them like they're crazy. but they're literally living with godly integrity. My question is are you and am I going to be the one that is okay with looking upside down to the world, but we know we're right side up with God? That's what it comes down to. How do you do that? You let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, pastor told me, you know, hey, honey, you want to do this? No. You know, I'm not saying start, you know, barking at people. I'm saying it's about integrity from the inside out. And so I want to talk about that. In your outlines, I'm going to give you quickly just why we tend to not lean into the godly integrity. I'm going to give you a few observations about why we break our promises or why we tend to make promises and then we go back on them. But what I'm really going to focus on is I'm going to give you four C's at the end. How can we increase our integrity? James MacArthur, he was the preacher of Grace Community Church in California, and he had this to say about the prevalence and popularity of lying in our society or the lack of integrity. And he said this: our society is built on a framework of lies, leading one to wonder whether our social structure would survive if everyone was forced to speak the truth, even for one day. Think about that. What would it look like if the whole world had to speak the truth for one day? Would things fall apart? Would they get better? You see, this world is a sin world, and we tend to find ways to cope with it, live with it, embrace it, be okay with it, but then all of a sudden, we end up being upside down. How do we live right side up with that godly integrity? How do we not befriend what God calls sin, and we just go ahead and be okay with it somehow, as if we're holding hands with it? Now, I like I told you, the message changed. I just want you to hear the heart of the Holy Spirit, because there is going to come a day where you and I will stand before Him, and He wants to know if we walked in that godly integrity. So why do people feel the need to lie? Number one, write it down, self-protection. First of all, people lie because they're afraid. They're motivated by fear. They want to protect themselves. They're afraid that they're going to get into trouble. They're afraid that they'll get rejected, so they lie and say different things to be accepted. Or they don't want to be caught in the middle of a confrontation. Or sometimes we're afraid we'll hurt somebody's feelings or we'll lose our job. It's fear. We lie. We compromise because we're trying as hard as we can to protect ourselves, forgetting that we already have one that is protecting us, and that's our Savior. So why do we sometimes feel this need to lie or to do an end run? Self-protection. Number two, self-centeredness. Maybe a harsh word, but here's the reality. People lie because they benefit from their lie. That's why we do it. People lie because we focus on self. We might not get recognition if I don't do this, or I might not get that promotion or that job or that date or that credit card or that sympathy, and so we finagle things to try to make the world evolve around us. The third reason we tend to lie or embrace what the world has to offer is, number three, self-importance. Self-importance. People lie because of their pride. Somehow, the lies of this kind, they feed our self-importance. Either we lie to save face, or we lie to cover a mistake, or we lie to be liked, or to appear more important or more successful than we really are. But these are all designed to destroy us. No matter how good you try to be, it's not good integrity that gets you to the kingdom of God. It's godly integrity that gets you to the kingdom of God. And if at any point during this message you come to a place where you say, oh, I feel uncomfortable there, I feel like that's maybe an area, don't take it as a condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation. The Holy Spirit will convict, and if that happens, He's trying to show you something inside of you that He wants to address so He can bring healing in your heart. So if you ever feel that, I've learned to embrace it. It's hard. Because when the Holy Spirit corrects me and there's something that's not right on the inside, I don't like it when the Holy Spirit points it out. It makes me feel uncomfortable because I've worked so hard at trying to get where I'm at. But I've learned that you need to lean into that, because the quicker you do that, the quicker you get the healing that you need. The quicker you get the healing and the healthier you become, the more productive you are. The more productive you are, the more joy runs into your life. And aren't we all just want to live in that place where we can experience the joy? Right? The joy of the Lord, it's our what? Strength. We all say we want strength. You can get that from the joy of the Lord, but it starts with being integrous. So that means you're always going to be tempted. I'm always going to be tempted to lie, manipulate, cheat, steal. That's because we live in this sin world, but that doesn't mean we have to do it. That doesn't mean we have to embrace it. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but doing the wrong thing always seems the easiest. Have you noticed that? Here's right, here's wrong. You know this is right, but wrong just seems so easier. It's quicker. I'll get faster results, right? And that's what tempts us away from doing what is right. But yet we still have to choose to do what is right. You know, you can lie a little here and you can lie a little there and say, well, it's really not going to hurt anybody. But the problem is it becomes a breeding ground. And it eats away at any godly integrity that you want to build. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, a little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everybody knows. It's the same thing. You may be, if you're a little pregnant, it's not going to be long before you're a lot of pregnant. Okay? We just became grandparents. We got a beautiful little granddaughter. Her name's Charlotte Rose. We love on her any chance that we get. And I remember when our daughter and son-in-law came to tell us, surprise us, and tell us that she was pregnant. And so she comes in, she goes, close your eyes. And I'm like, oh, sweet, we're going to get presents. And we put out our hands. Lisa got a coffee mug, and I got this like little teeny tiny t-shirt. It was a onesie. I didn't, you know it at the time, though. And so we open our eyes, and Lisa starts screaming. Ah, she's all excited. I'm like, what is she screaming about? I said, is this a dog t-shirt or what? Because they had these little dogs in their house. My daughter's like, read the shirt. You know, and it said, you know, something about grandpa. And I'm like, are you serious? No way. You know, and I looked at my daughter. You don't look pregnant. But you never do in the beginning. But 4 or 5 months later, she looked a lot of pregnant. Right? She said, oh, my back. Whew, man. You know, walking up the flight of stairs, you know, we had to take a break, right? You know, because everything changes. So it is when you lack integrity and you start inviting in like, well, it's a little lie. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to be long before that little becomes a lot. And it affects how you walk. It affects your strength and energy or lack thereof. And it starts to erode at that. So we have to be people with the highest godly integrity that we can have. Now, let me just say it one more time. I did not say perfect, okay? You and I will be in that perfect place, but that's not until we go and see Jesus. We are perfected people. We're in a process, in a world that is slowly trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But we can still let his light shine through our lives in this world. How? By having godly integrity. God doesn't call us to be a people that's interested in the easy way. He calls us to be a people that do it the right way. The right way. And so it starts with the foundation. So before I go too much further, I can't give you the four C's unless I know what's your foundation. And I'm not asking you to tell me verbally, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, what's your foundation? Because I'm going to tell you right from the Word of God what it has to say about integrity. But if you don't believe in the Word of God, and if you don't believe in the Lord as your Savior, then you're going to build on another foundation. And any other foundation is not going to last. It's not going to do. So what foundation are you building on? Edward R. Murrow is his name. He's the famous media personality of the last century. He said this. He said, to be persuasive, we must be believable. To be believable, we must be credible. And to be credible, we must be truthful. You see, we want to be credible. We want to be influencers, but it's all based on truth. But here's my question today. Whose truth is your foundation? Is it your truth, your friend's truth, your parents' truth, or God's truth? You have to solidify that. So if you're here today and you're like, we're good, I've got a good foundation, then the next question is what are you building on it? What's it look like? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you build this godly character? See, you and I will only be pervasive lights for Christ if we're truthful. We are Christians. We are Christ-like. We are like him. So what's Christ like? Well, if it's filled in the Word of God, and he tells us what we are like and how we're made, which I'll get into in just a moment. But James, at the end, he says, in all of the things that are going on in their world at that time, and in all of the things that are going on in our world today, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Be a man and woman of integrity, but you can only do that, that godly integrity, if God is your foundation. So that's where it starts. In the Bible, there's different agreements and oaths that were made here and there, and that's perfectly fine. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to do it a certain way, but when Jesus came, they no longer had to because he was here, and he's here today. He's here in this room right now to speak to you and to me about what it means to have that godly-like integrity. Because when you make an oath, the purpose of an oath was to call upon someone or something greater than yourself as a witness to the promise you were making. And so that's why they would do that. But you see, Jesus is here. He's present. And he says, I want to build within your life this integrity so you know what it means to not just live a good life, but to live a God life. There's a big difference in that. Now, how many of you want to have a good life as well? I do, but not absent from the presence of God. It starts with a godly foundation. Then you can build on that, which is good. So why is it that we always make these promises and break them? Let me just give you three things real quick. A lot of times it's because we're overenthusiastic. That's one. Another reason, number two, is we're overextended. A lot of times we make promises that we think we can keep, but there's not enough time in the day. It's not possible. And so we overextend ourselves for whatever reason. And another reason we sometimes don't keep our word is, number three, write down, overestimation. We overestimate what we can actually accomplish, what we can actually do. Instead of seeking God, saying, God, what do you have to say about this situation? What do you have to say about me? How can you use me for the kingdom of God where I'm at right now? So having that out of the way and looking at some of these reasons why we feel the need to manipulate or lie, why we sometimes make promises and break them, the question is, how do we increase our integrity? I think we've already laid a good foundation about where this world is going. Can we agree on that? Okay. This is a sin world. Amen? Okay. You don't have to look very hard to find what's wrong. You have to work harder at finding what's right. And that's to be godly people. Let me tell you something that's happening in our world today. It's increasingly getting worse and worse. And I don't want to get on a soapbox, and I don't want to get political, and I don't want any of that stuff. But I do want to say this. We are more confused now about who we are than we've ever been in the history of time. But yes, back in the day, Cain killed Abel. Yes, back in the day, Dinah and all these different wrong choices happened. But it increasingly got worse, and now we're at a place that we have completely lost our identity in who we are. We are living in an upside-down world that is now making normal that which is abnormal. We are now living in a world that is more concerned with what pronoun you are to be called than they are about being created in the image of Christ. We get so concerned about that. We've got to be politically right. We've got to be very careful. We can't step on toes. And I'm not a toe stepper. I don't want to step on toes. But I do want to speak truth. And the Bible has a lot to say. They've got so many out there now that you can be a she, a he, a z, a zi, an a per, a they. There's so many pronouns out there because people are confused and they've missed the bigger picture. Let me tell you what God says. He said right in Genesis chapter 1, he said, God created man in his own what? Image. You've been created in my image, which is why I'm asking you, what's your foundation? Because if you don't believe this, you'll believe anything. But he says, you were created in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He says in Psalms 139:14, the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The only way you know that is when you know you've been created in the image of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, you and I are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and in holiness. That's how you've been created. That's how I've been created. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. God has no issue on who you are. We have that issue. God knows exactly how he created you and created everybody else here that's watching online, that's in our community. But the bigger question is, do we know who we are, truly are, in Christ Jesus? And that's where this world is flipping everything upside down. So how does you and me, how do we as believers, how do we increase our integrity? You can't just stick your head in the sand like an ostrich and say, God bless me and my four no more, and hide. But that's what we want to do sometimes, right? It just, I'm good, my kids are good, hopefully my kids' are good. I just got to hold on tightly here, right? Until I make it to I see Jesus. But that's not the way he's designed us to live either. He said, while you live in this world, he says, greater is he that's within you than what? Anything in this world. The greatest thing that you and I have going for us is who is inside of us. You don't have to be that smart or look that good or wear the right cologne or wear the right dress. Well, what do I have to be? A son and daughter of the Most High God who understands they have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. So how do we increase this integrity? Because we're going to leave this place today. And you are bombarded at work. You are bombarded at the store with how to pronounce or how to say or how do I address this? And it gets down to a point where we feel like we've got to learn how to play nicely with sin, but you don't. I don't. Now, having said that, I'm not saying go out and pick a fight, okay? Don't do that. But you need to know what the truth is. You need to know how we walk in godly integrity. Let me give you the four C's. The first one, write down, consider. Consider. In other words, when it comes to godly integrity, don't let it be just about giving lip service, but it's about getting into the presence of God. Ask yourself this, consider this, and you say, God, think about whatever situation you're going through right now, whatever struggle you're having, your foundation with Christ, where it's at. What do you have to say about it? Look, that's what considering is. God, what do you say about where I'm at in my walk with you? What do you say about the people that I interact with at work? God, what do you say about the children that I am raising and how I should do that? God, what do you say about my marriage and the way we communicate or don't communicate or whatever? God, what do you say? What do you say? It starts with considering. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's up on the screen. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. One translation puts it this way. I like it this way. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. Above all else, consider, guard your heart. Above all else, make sure you're coming into the presence of God saying, Lord, how are we doing? Are we good? What do I need to be aware of? Where am I compromising? Where do I need to stand up? Where do I need to sit down? You consider, Lord, what is it that you have to say? Because that's what's going to make all the difference in the world. You see, there are all kinds of things that we want to do, right? Do you guys got some wants? Anyone want to be rich? Anyone want a new car? Anyone want, you know, you just, there's nothing wrong with that. Wanting things, okay? There's all kinds of things that we could do. You know what I mean? I could serve. I could pray for them. I could help them. But do you? Do I? We've got to ask ourselves these things. That's how you consider. And there's a lot of things that we should do. In other words, maybe God has spoken, but the question is, have you pulled the trigger on it yet? Have you done something with what it is that God has told you to do? But here's an even better question when you're considering, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? I see where I'm at right now, but what else can I do? What am I capable of? More importantly, what are the things that, God, you want me to do? This happens when you consider. Because when we go through this world, the world is going to scream at you what they think is truth. And you better know the difference between the world's truth and God's truth. So it starts with considering. Here's number two. Write down the word commit. You can't commit to something until you first know what it is you're committing to. That's why considering happens first. You consider. God, what do you have to say? Well, when it comes to integrity, am I integrous? Do I need to change anything? And when God speaks to you, then you commit to that. You commit to the promise that you make to God, or you commit to the word that God has placed upon your heart. It's important that we do this. Dr. David Jeremiah, are you all familiar with his name? He's still on radio, I believe, Dr. David Jeremiah. And he gives, I caught one of his remarks when he was talking about integrity, and he defined integrity this way. Integrity is keeping my commitments, even if the circumstances when I made the commitment have changed. That's what it means to have integrity. It means when you let, he's saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You have to know what to say no to, because sometimes you need to say no. Sometimes you need to say yes. There's going to be times when you're going to want to say yes, but you know no is the answer, right? So you start with considering, and when you hear what the Lord speaks, then you commit to that. I remember times, because here's what happens. Sometimes we feel like, well, I don't want to make a promise if I don't know if I can keep it. He's not asking you to make a promise. He's asking you and I to walk in integrity. To walk in integrity and to understand what it means that even though life will throw you curveballs. How many of you found out that this world loves baseball? You get some sliders, you get some curveballs, right? You get some fastballs that hit you in life. It's just never ending. It's like about the time you think you can tread water and you're doing okay, here comes the next wave. And that's part of life, but that's why we need to have a strong foundation. And we find that in a relationship with God. So we have to consider. We have to commit. And then number three, write this down. We have to confess. If you're going to walk in integrity, that means you go seek the Lord, what he has to say. You consider all those questions I said earlier. Lord, what could I do? What should I do? What, you know, all those. And then when he speaks to you, you make sure that you commit to it. I'm going to obey what God told me. And then I wrote confess because there's going to be times when you go seek the Lord. He may show you something in your life that you have tolerated that he does not want you to tolerate. You know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? Has God ever told you no when you wanted to hear a yes? I think it happens more than we'd like to admit. But then the next question is, are you going to confess that? Okay, yes, Lord, this, I see it. It's not right. It's wrong. Confessing is when you've come to a place where you realize, I failed in this area. Now, how many of you know that failure is not the thing that defines you unless you choose it? Failure is just understanding that I messed this up. Now I'm going to confess this so that God can lead me to that place of healing. And it's in the point of confession. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. That's the goal. It's so that you may be healed. If you can confess your trespasses, your sins, then healing can come. And you learn the lessons you've been dying to know, but you don't experience them on that level until confession happens. It has to happen there. There's times when we will mess up and we'll make mistakes. The question is when you make a mistake and the Holy Spirit addresses that, taps on your heart, are you going to ignore him or are you going to listen to him? Because if you listen to him, you might learn more than you thought you could. My son, Seth, I love him. Obviously, I love both my kids, all my kids. But one day, about 8 or 9 years old, Seth had this habit of running in front of me, especially when I had my arms full of stuff, right? And, you know, there's these little things that kids do when you're raising them that just kind of tick you off. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that. You guys are like, no, we're perfect parents, Pastor. What's your problem? So I get the groceries, and he'd run and cut me off. And Seth, stop doing that, right? You know, and I told him a number of times. So this particular day, we're coming home from the grocery store. I get all the groceries in my arms. I'm walking. He runs in front of me, cuts me off, which really irritated the snot out of me. So I let him have it with both barrels. And I said, Seth, I said, I told you to knock that off. Get in the house, go to your room, and stay there till I get up there. And I thought, whew, that was some pretty good parenting, wasn't it? For like a second, I felt good about, you know, teach this kid a lesson, right? But the Holy Spirit showed up. Oh, don't you just hate it when you think you did the right thing and the Holy Spirit shows up and you know he's there for you? It's kind of like he showed up and it was like, you know, hey, you know, we got this, right? You know, you're on my side, right? And the Holy Spirit just looks at you gently and quietly and waits. He's a very good waiter. Have you ever noticed that? If it was a professional sport, he's the winner every time. And he just spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, Jim, I said, come on. You saw what he did, how many times he does it, you know. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Jim, what you said wasn't necessarily wrong, but the way you said it wasn't cool. I'm like, oh, man, are you serious? You know, I'm having this conversation with God. This is how I talk to God. You know, you don't have to float on a cloud to talk to God. You just got to be real. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do now? And I felt that I needed to go apologize. And my first response was, dude, that's not going to happen. I'm the father. I'm the dad, right? You know, why don't we just call it good? I'll learn from this so next time. You ever compromise with God? Careful, that'll get you in trouble. And so I went up to Seth's room, and he still had, you know, dried tears on his face and all that. And I told him, I sat down, I said, listen, I want to talk to you. He's like, yeah. You know, he's all scared. And said, I need to apologize to you. He looked at me like I had three noses. Why? I said, dude, I've been telling you not to cut me off. Like, how many times now? You know, you did it. But the reason, here's the reason that I didn't share with you yet. The reason he ran in front of me, he said, Dad, he said, your arms were full of groceries. I was running to the door to open it for you. Now you feel like just a big jerk, right? And I'm like, yeah, well, still shouldn't have done that. Hee-haw, hee-haw. You know, I just felt bad. And so I said, Seth, I'm sorry, bud. I said, listen, the fact that you did it, you know, it drove me nuts, but my response, I was wrong. And so I just want you to hear it from my face. I'm sorry. And I apologize. And he's like, that's okay, Dad. And he gave me a hug. That was when he was like 8 or 9 years old, okay? My son is 22 years old now. And we had this conversation, I don't know, within the last 6 months. And he said, Dad, remember that day? And you always love it when they bring it up when you screw up. Dad, remember that day when you yelled at me for going to get the door? I'm like, yes, I remember. Shut up. You know, but he told me, he said, you know what I learned that day? He said, I never forgot it. I said, well, why didn't you forget it? He said, because you yelled at me. I went to my room. I thought, great, he's going to ground me. I'll be in trouble. He said, but you came in and apologized. Not for what you said, but for how you said it. And I'm like, he remembered that? And he said, I never forgot it. That day, because we were willing to let confession take place, two lessons were learned. And we grew from that. You see, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what your world looks like. We've already talked about what this world is looking like, but to have godly integrity means that you and I have to come into his presence and consider, Lord, what should I do? What can I do? Lord, what do you see? And then when he shows you, then you move it to commitment to do something with what God said. And sometimes what God shows you, you may not like. But can I tell you a little secret? When God shows you something you don't like, he's not showing you so he can make you feel bad. He's showing you because he doesn't like it either, and he wants to remove it and put something brand new in there. He wants to give you life, but you're not going to be able to receive it unless you're willing and able to confess. Lean into those moments. I've had to learn to do this. When the Holy Spirit shows up to correct me, I wanted to run. I wanted to avoid it, but I couldn't get away from it, right? So I've learned to lean into it. When the Lord shows me that I'm screwing up in an area, when the Lord shows me that I'm not handling something well, I've learned it's better to lean into that and say, Jesus, what do I need to know? Because then I learn the lessons quicker, and I grow in my integrity, and I grow in my character. And that's the big deal, because God will use you here in this world for the kingdom of God. And then the last one is this. We had consider, commit, confess. And then number four is cease. Cease. In other words, stop. Surrender. There's a better word. Surrender. When you consider, then commit, then confess, then he says, now surrender. Surrender whatever it is that he's dealing with you in your life. Surrender that to him. Take a look at this scripture up here. Let's read it together. It's John chapter 15, verse 4. You ready? Go. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, apart from him, you and I are nothing. And I'm not like nothing, like I'm making that up. That comes right out of the Bible. apart from me, there's nothing. So my question to you again is, what's your foundation? Don't get good integrity confused with godly integrity. The world will say, he's a neat guy, they're really sweet, they help it from time to time. Okay, that's great, but all your niceties don't get you into heaven. It's salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And it's that godly integrity that you build. But when God speaks, surrender. Give to him that which it is he is asking you of. Simply put, integrity is doing what you said you'd do. And it means that you'll follow through. When God speaks to you, he'll do something fresh and new in your life. And here's what I want to do. I want to end service this way. I want to pray a prayer. I don't know everybody's situation. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but God does. And that's the good thing. He knows exactly what to do. So as we close, I'm going to pray that God would enrich our lives, that he would download, if you will, this godly integrity so that we can be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Would you close your eyes with me as we pray? Father, today we come before you. And Lord, we come before you asking for your guidance. Jesus, we ask you for strength so that we can maintain, not just maintain our integrity, but that we can continually grow in an understanding of what godly integrity is all about. Lord, I ask you today that you would help each and every person that is here today, each and every person that is listening through social media. Father, I ask that you would help us to walk in honesty, that you would help us to walk in truth in a world that has things upside down. Lord, things may be challenging at times, but we know the simple truth is that when we abide in you and you're abiding in us, it's all good. So Jesus, I pray today that you give us the courage to stand up for what is right, even in the face of opposition and even in the face of criticism. Father, remind us today that our integrity is not just important for our own personal growth and development, but it's so important because of the impact it can have in our very own communities and in our homes. So, Father, I ask today that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to renew our minds so that we may always be a reflection of your truth and your love. Lord, show us, speak to us about godly integrity, and then help us to walk in that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.